My guest today is John West. You can check him out at myspace.com/JohnPeterWest. We're going to play a track from his LP, and then we're going to get into some interview and some live stuff. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
In the circus, we get lost in the maze, baby. We get lost on the surface, we get lost in the waves, them waves, baby. So what's the deal with the freeze frame? Do we have to just remain the same? Maybe, maybe we could change our ways. Maybe we could change. Maybe. Capture the moment, let the moment be free. It's just you and me, it's just you and me, baby, baby, play it now. In the masquerade, baby, and entertain, we say, with much impatience. But ticket price we pay ain't all we lose along the way, maybe, maybe. Can't take no good pictures of me. Past moments are just fixtures, you see. We just got this moment to breathe, just breathe, baby, baby. In the circus, we get lost in the maze, baby. We get lost on the surface, we get lost in the waves, them waves, baby.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is John West. John, how you doing, man?
It's good to be here.
Thanks for coming in. Tell me, where are you from, man?
I'm originally from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to, if I had to make a guess, right, there's good. Definitely, I can hear that influence in your music. Do you think of that? Do you think of that, like, sort of being from Louisiana and being in L.A., sort of a lot of the experience of being in L.A., like, I lived on the East Coast, I lived in Maryland and New York before I moved here, and no matter how long you're in L.A., you always kind of feel like you've moved to LA. You can be here for 20 years and still think of yourself as having moved to LA.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you feel sort of your roots still there?
In Louisiana, yeah. I mean, as best I can, I've tried to make LA my home. You know, you sort of need to stay sane out here. But what I like about, because I moved here from Chicago, I was living in Chicago for school. That's where I got my undergrad. But coming out to LA, I think it felt sort of like home as far as the weather to some degree, like Louisiana and everything. But it's, yeah, my roots are definitely down south, you know, that's where I'm from.
Did you come here to pursue music?
I did, yeah. It was sort of New York, LA, and New York was really cold. And so, yeah, no, I've been wanting to get out here for a minute, yeah, so.
Did you find that there were more opportunities here, though, musically, that when you got here there were sort of these?
I didn't really explore too deeply. I mean, I knew what LA more or less had to offer from, you know, sort of everyone's sort of idea of what LA has to offer. But I didn't really come out here knowing a lot of people. It was just more sort of like, what's up? You know, I got out here about, not an October ago, so about a year and a half ago. And yeah, just to try to hit the ground running. So I was hoping that it was cool, you know, that it was going to work out. You know, I guess it's been working out okay.
Did you already have a lot of experience performing live and in front of an audience before you came to LA?
In Chicago, I had like a band that I did for a minute called Green Street and stuff. And I've been singing for a while, but coming out to LA was sort of the beginning of doing anything sort of like as a solo singer-songwriter, you know, hardcore, you know, just sort of really pursuing it, so.
All right, well, yeah. Why don't we go into a live song and then we'll talk about that challenge when we get back. What are you going to play for us?
This is a tune, it's called Loved You Tonight.
All right.
Yeah, it's on MySpace.
Your listen is good on killradio.org. My guest is John West.
Far, far away from me, and I don't know much about you, but I like what I see. And we don't have to judge each other, no. We could just be, we could just breathe, wait and see. But in the meantime, would you mind if I told you I loved you tonight? Cause it seems when you're close to me, it's gonna be alright. Would you mind if I told you I loved you just for tonight? Cause it seems when you're close to me, it's gonna be alright. Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be alright. I see, we've been in love before, haven't we? Haven't we? But past love's like past lives, it seems to me. We don't have to fear this moment, no. We could go slow, see where this goes, but you never know. But in the meantime, would you mind if I told you I loved you tonight? Cause it seems when you're close to me, it's gonna be alright. Would you mind if I told you I loved you just for tonight? Cause it seems when you're close to me, it's gonna be alright. Yeah, oh, it's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. Oh. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
So you mentioned before that you used to be in a band. What made you decide to not be in a band anymore?
It was a band in name. I didn't want to call it the John West Band, you know, so uh-huh. It was Green Street, but more or less it was still an operation where I was, you know, writing songs, pulling together, you know, a desperate group of misanthropes, and, you know, making them play my songs, you know.
And was it hard to sort of surround yourself with people that had the same vision in mind and wanted to bring your songs the way you wrote them?
I think the initial guys I got together, we had a pretty good click. Unfortunately, it was really just about like a lot of just things outside the music that sort of, you know, just made it hard. Like
that whole life thing, right?
Yeah, the whole like my bass player like played at, I worked at this hotel like almost basically like full like 60 hours a week. It was just crazy. We had to like scheduling rehearsals was really hard. My bass, like my drummer, was a really good drummer, but he like decided to just go like on tour with like the Grateful Dead and sort of like sell mushrooms or something like sporadically, and sort of got busted. I think like the first show and ended up, you know, going back to Arkansas. It's crazy stuff.
That's what happens when you sell mushrooms sporadically. You really got to do it business like. You can't just do it willy-dilly.
I know. So it was like I had to go through drummers. It was that whole like Spinal Tap thing, you know, just going through all these different drummers. But the click was cool. Yeah, but as far as like, you know, I wanted it to be like that band thing where we all write the songs together, but it just never quite seemed like that. I guess I, at the end of the day, I am a singer-songwriter, and I hate that title. But I guess it's descriptive.
What don't you like about that?
It just sounds like so much music I don't like.
Kind of like pretentious, like
yeah, like I write songs, I play guitar. You know, I don't know, singer songwriter. It just seems like it can mean anything, really.
Do you feel a little bit more free though now that you're not, you know, locked down to a drummer and a bass player and you know?
Yeah,
that,
well now that
you can do sort of whatever you want.
Yeah, well now that I'm out here, it's just like now that I guess I just have a more concise vision of what I'm trying to do. And so after getting out here, you know, and got a really good management team and everything now, it's really been slowly putting together a band of, well, what's cool though, is that a lot of the, basically all the guys know each other. It's a lot of USC graduates, really mm-hmm. talented musicians. You know, I'm learning a lot from them and stuff, and it's been a really good situation. It's built sort of slowly, but basically just in the past, like 2 months, I found my rhythm section.
Nice.
Some really great guys. MikeTheDrummer.com. He's got a good website. And my guy Danny on bass. But so it's finally sort of really like sort of coalesced in some ways, at least the live sound, just in the past month or two.
But what about the challenges though of going up as John West with all eyes on you? And I'm cool.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think people will relate. Hopefully that I try to get on stage and, you know, I want, it's like I'd read some quote like from the Dalai Lama or something. He's like, I don't want people to be in awe of me. I want people to just sort of, I want to inspire people, you know? And I think that's a really cool way to try to live as an entertainer, is to just get up there and yeah, let people know that like, look, this is something beautiful that I do. And I think we've all got a capacity for some sort of greatness in us. And that it's not like, oh yeah, I found the golden ticket. Although maybe we've all got a goal. This sounds cheesy, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyway, but as far as getting on stage, I just try to create an atmosphere of like, hey y'all, I'm just a dude from Louisiana. I write music and I'm trying to write something honest, and I'm glad y'all can relate to it, and that the audience is like, there's a nice variety of people out there. That's all, you know, let's try to say hello to each other, you know, and I'll make bad jokes and let's have a good time, you know.
When your name is starting to be bandied about a little bit in LA, you're sort of drawing yourself a crowd and people are becoming more familiar with your music.
Yeah, it's cool.
And you're definitely someone who is, you know, on the rise in LA. When you first got here though, and you weren't yet established in LA as an LA musician,
right.
what was your experience getting your first gig and being put up there in front of an audience?
I'll tell you, like, it was a real blessing when I got here. A group I got involved with, I'm definitely a spiritual person. I'm not super religious or anything, but there was a group called the Baha'i Faith, which is a sort of progressive religion, but it's originally based out of like Iran and stuff.
Yeah, I actually spent 5 hours on an airplane next to a guy who was Baha'i.
Oh, he was telling me the whole thing. You know?
It was really interesting.
This guy, you know, yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. I'm not going to get all into it.
Yeah,
but
it's a fascinating religion.
Yeah, and also just really a really set of cool open people, and they had this really wonderful open mic that I got. One of my sister's good friends who lives out here is Baha'i, and brought me out to this like Sunday night open mic at the Baha'i Center. It was called the Crimson Spot. I'm not sure they're still doing it.
Isn't one of their main tenets that you have to respect people of other religions? Isn't that sort of like their rule number one, is that everybody else also has their...
Yeah, they don't... Yeah, it's sort of the idea that there's maybe a progression of religions and things, and that there's so much universal truth among all of them. So, yeah, it's a lot of good stuff. And, you know, and so this open mic I went to, though, yeah, it was very much not a religious thing, but basically just an open mic. And the energy there was so great. So I've been in town for like 2 weeks, you know, and so my first initial contact was sort of playing in front of groups of people were playing in front of Baha'is and friends of Baha'is. And what a great response, and it's a great open energy. And then from that, I knew some friends who, a guy who was Baha'i, and then his friend who wasn't, who's actually my guitar player now, this guy Drew DeCaro. But they ended up booking me at the Viper Room. They have a little downstairs basement thing called like the Basement Lounge or
right.
something. like an acoustic thing.
Which is the new popular thing to do in LA. If you have like a big club that's hard to get into,
play in
open
basement.
Up your basement for right. acoustic acts. A lot of venues are doing that now.
Yeah, like the Key Club and a bunch of places on the rocks, you know. And so that was my first gig, and that was February 1st. So is today February 1st?
Yeah, it is.
That's
happy anniversary.
Up. I know, I didn't realize this, but I was just looking on my that's traffic outside. We are on the lovely we are.
I always like to capture
Echo Park, Silver Lake, you know.
Yeah, I always say we record the show on the median strip of a major freeway.
So. Oh yeah, definitely, man. It's all about Beverly, east of Beverly Hills. But yeah, so that's crazy. It was a year ago today. Oh, that makes me feel all like, what a good day to come in.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't even remember the date. I was just looking on MySpace. You can look at the past events you've posted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like February 1st, intimate. You know, whenever you play in a small little cramped room,
It's
intimate, you know, an intimate acoustic set. But it was a great turnout. You know, you couldn't hold that many people. We packed it. You know, people were, you know, sitting on the floor, just chilling, relaxing. And then like from that night I met who ends up being my cello player, this guy Emil Kelman, who plays on, maybe the next thing we could do could be Gravity, but he just adds this really nice element, and he's a producer as well. And then it was like a month or two later that I got to, you know, hook up with my management team, Gene Whitney and Glenn Stanrich. And now I work out of, they're all sort of working in the Raphael Sadiq camp. So I sort of get to work out of that studio.
And you met this management team because they came to one of your shows?
Well, you know what it was? It was like a MySpace connection. It was, thanks MySpace. Thanks, Tom. it was that Chrissy DePaul, who's another artist who I'm playing a show with on Valentine's Day in a few weeks. At the Temple Bar.
Which is a great music venue. The sound there, I think, is probably the best in LA.
Oh, man. Yeah, I love it. You know, you just feel it's a sweet spot. I mean, I alternate basically between there and Hotel Cafe. I've been my two.
Which is the other great music venue. I mean, like, if you can say, because you just finished a residency at Hotel Cafe, right?
I was playing there for a month. Yeah.
I mean, that's a prized position in LA as an independent artist.
Yeah, definitely. It was a great honor after only playing there. I think I played there 3 times before. But, you know, I guess if you can bring a decent audience, and the guy Marco there who books, you know, he likes my music and he's a great guy. And, it was a great thing to have happen. In fact, my last show last week, because, you know, when you do a weekly show, you don't expect killer crowds every week necessarily.
Right.
But by the last show, we had, we basically, I guess, sold it out. I mean, I don't think they were letting anybody else in. It was like 180 or something.
Wow.
And normally we bring about 100 people there or something, I guess. And we weren't really expecting it, you know. So it was a good feeling, you know what I mean, have the last show and have all these people show up. Nonetheless, this girl Chrissy DePaul, I'd met her on MySpace, or she'd hit me up like, hey, I like your music. This is like last December before I even did my show at, you know, Viper Room. But she was like, you know, we could write a song together or something maybe. And so we got together around Christmas time, wrote a song. And then she ends up being friends with this girl, Hope, who's a signed artist on Atlantic, really, quite a talent. She's recording her album right now. I met Hope out at the Promenade. And then there was all this traffic going by outside the studio
window. This is a particularly, like, day of Armageddon. This is, I'm used to a couple of sirens going by, but this is a special day.
You know.
It's good it's not happening during your live performance.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's cool. But nonetheless, I met Hope at the Promenade out on 3rd Street, where I play on the weekends a lot. Just, you know, hustling and busking, as they say, I don't know, over the pond. And then I met Hope's brother. He does some recording. He wanted me to come by his place. The night I went by ends up being the night that Hope's having a going away party, and this guy Gene Whitney comes by, who's currently is the head of like publishing law over at Universal. He's about to retire and move on to some bigger and better things. He happened to hear I was just jamming that night with this girl Chrissy. He came out to a show. A few days later, my car broke down. I'm like, what the hell am I gonna do?
But
you know, what's happening in LA? You know, it's like the end of February. So I've already done that show. I did a little show of Chrissy, this place called The Stone Bar. And then I get a call from Gene. He's like, hey, I work at Universal, this A&R, da-da-da-da, Raphael Sadiq, da-da-da.
Uh-huh.
You know, let's have you come through. And from there, it's just been a nice, you know, and things started moving a little more.
So sort of, you know, being in the right place at the right time a certain number of times.
A certain number of times,
and not screwing up at any of those opportunities.
Oh, isn't that like the LA game?
Break it down for me one more time. Like, what instruments are in your band and its current setup? And then we'll play another track from the CD.
For sure. Yeah, so obviously guitar and myself. And then the first instrument, we sort of brought in a lot of stuff. Like on Masquerade, we brought in piano.
Mm-hmm.
So it's guitar, piano, you know, drum and bass. Not drum and bass, but drums and, you know, rhythm section. A little
gabber and
yeah, a little something quick. No, and then I have some cello on a few tunes, you know, I've been getting up with this guy who's a beatboxer. I might be working into a live set a little bit. You know, might bring in more of a full string section. You know, just like you just want to keep adding elements without it overcrowding the sound.
Right.
So I think there's nice songs that are just me guitar and piano. Or even like I had a show at Hotel Cafe that was just guitar, piano, and cello. So that's some cool stuff. But yeah, but basically, you know, it's like five of us or whatever.
Well, let's listen to another track from your LP. Maybe the apocalypse going on outside will quiet down in the meantime.
Yeah, that's cool.
What do you recommend?
Maybe let's play that tune, Gravity. I think that's a nice one. Just
do you know what track that is?
Oh, I think it's the first track on the LP.
Cool. All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is John West. Stick around. Listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is John West.
And that's Emil Kelman on cello on that song.
Awesome. We were just talking about strings. Isn't it just amazing, like strings? I don't know. I'm a big movie geek, you know, and like movie soundtracks, I get really affected by them, you know, like a good movie soundtrack. It just, it makes the whole scene. And it's something about the strings. And when you hear it in music, it's, I don't know, it takes you to a place that other instruments can't seem not to be able to take you.
Yeah. It's like a swell thing. Just, I don't know. It's like somebody told me that they were at a show at the thing at Temple Bar, you know, and everybody was jamming. It was cool. And we did the song Gravity and, you know, the cello comes in. And it's like a lot of people sort of just looked up like, all of a sudden, you got to give it a little respect just because it's like, it's strings. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's like the respectable older person comes in the room, you know, like, okay. Like, but they're dope. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So like, you got to like, you know, and he's kind of like, okay, that's cool. So yeah, no, there's a whole sound. I mean, I think it's a thing where obviously I don't want to put it on every song I have or something, but as far as just to give a little extra, yeah, man, it just pulls your soul, you know. So
tell me a little bit about this EP we're just LP we're just listening to. Is that available?
Yeah, you can get that online off my MySpace page right now, and then once again, it's MySpace/JohnPeterWest, and you can also get it at my shows and when I play on the Promenade. Right now, $1 of each CD is going towards like Katrina Relief down in New Orleans. But basically, yeah, it's I would call it a very nice glorified demo. You know what I'm saying? As far as like, it's a collection of tunes.
So is it like a preview for a major release album?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we just have I have a lot of songs, but yeah, these are all good recordings. But some of them are some things I've done before working with Sadiq out of that studio out of Blakesley, and then there's a lot of some of the newer things. All the songs on MySpace, for instance, and it's a cohesive mix of songs, and it's definitely like a nice chill. Like, people tell me they can just sort of put it on, they don't have to skip songs, they can relax with their girl, or they can like just get through a hard, you know, drive home in traffic or whatever, you know. So it's,
I think,
nice.
That's the test of a great album, if you can listen to it from beginning to end without going, oh wait, not track three.
Yeah,
you know,
like, yeah. or only track three. Yeah, yeah. That's even worse.
Definitely.
So yeah, but it's there's always some new tunes and stuff, and yeah, you know, but it's yeah, I'm proud of it. It's definitely a good little set of John West.
Let's get into some more live stuff. What would you like to play next?
Okay, I thought maybe maybe this newer tune. It's on the live disc we're giving out. It's a song called "Keep It Together." Let's see how I can.
All right, cool.
Manage it for if I remember all the words.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is John West. You can check out myspace.com/JohnPeterWest.
Find truth for sure, else what am I digging for? Looking at you all day, looking for words to say, feelings I just can't face, I'ma say this anyway. Let's keep it together. Ooh, I'm by your side, I wanna do this right. Let's keep it together. I'm gonna do what I can, not always in my hands. Oh no, hey, yeah. Oh no, and yes, keep it together. But the time is now, though I think it's so funny how unsure but act so proud, all alone up in this crowd. And maybe the time would come, or maybe it's everyone laying down in the summer sun, counting my blessings one. Let's keep it together. Ooh, yeah, I'm by your side, I wanna do this right. Let's keep it together. Oh no, I'm gonna do what I can, always in my hands. Oh no, ooh, oh, oh. Yo, what's that little vocal part? Like, break it down like, Let's keep it two. Or could we keep it together? Let's keep it two. Or could we keep it together? Let's keep it two. Oh, or could we keep it together? Let's keep it two. Let's keep it together. Feeling that beat in me. Knowing good things ain't free. I'll be what I want to be. But I think of my family. Been thinking about after all. Been thinking about if I fall. For you I stand so tall. Let's keep it together, y'all. Oh, let's keep it together. Oh, yeah. I'm by your side. I wanna do this right. Let's keep it together. Oh, oh no, I'm by your side. I wanna do this right. Let's keep it together. Oh, oh, oh. I'm gonna do what I can. Not always in my hands. Oh no. Oh, oh no, no. Keep it together. Oh, oh, hey, hey, let's keep it together.
New joint.
Nice. That was gorgeous. That was so...
Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah.
That's what's up. Thanks, man.
So
always,
there's...
It's always that high note. I'm like, let's keep it together. I'm like, I'm going to get there.
So I hear it like a lot of different genre influences in your music. I mean, that... this song had started out with kind of seemed like it had like a bossa nova vibe to it, but then there was also somehow a sense of hip hop and R&B to it. And you know, when people ask what you do, and we were saying before, like you don't like to be called just singer songwriter,
right? Right.
How do you kind of, you know, pitch yourself?
Yeah, I what does the bio say? Or I don't know what I write, or but you know, I think that hopefully, you know, I'm trying to make something soulful. It's not soul music, you know. Something sort of jazzy, it's not jazz. And so poppy, it's not pop. I don't know. You know, there's definitely a lot of artists, you know, that I draw on for sure. And that, you know, I think if you can hear some of that in me, then that's cool. You know, growing up down south, obviously, you know, I had a lot of friends making jazz music. Like a good friend of mine, Simon Lott, he's a ridiculous, ridiculous drummer. He's on tour, or he's the touring drummer for Charlie Hunter, who's a tremendous jazz, you know, guitar player. And he's just playing ridiculous all the time. So just growing up, like, I wasn't like a jazz musician, but it was cool sort of hearing that whole vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Then like the blues down south, you know what I'm saying? And then moving to Chicago, and there's sort of the blues there too, you know? But you know, but as far as like, you know, I don't know, there's been a lot of music that's influenced me. I always want to say like, you know, I wish I'd had that Almost Famous moment where, you know, the older sister, I even have an older sister, Anna, it was amazing. And she definitely hit me to some good music. But there was never that, here's a box of records, like, oh, this is Stevie Wonder and this is Led Zeppelin.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was more like, growing up, like, I listened to, like, my sister, I got, like, Lenny Kravitz's first CD, like, back in 88 or something, because my sister was listening to it. And people, I think, I mean, I remember behind the music for him, it was all, like, Lenny Kravitz's first record ripped off the Beatles and this.
Yeah.
And this. But at least maybe that was my condensed version. You know, that was my, like, cliff notes of certain artists that I hadn't really, you know, I didn't have songs in the key of life or whatever, you know, but... I had that, and I was big in, like, Cat Stevens, I love, and I like 10,000 Maniacs, you know, Natalie Merchant, and then I didn't really get into some more music, I felt like, really, till like, high school, and then I got into, like, Erykah Badu, and then Jill Scott, and, you know, Lauryn Hill, and all that stuff, and then as I started writing my own songs, which wasn't until I was, you know, already started in college, I'd play guitar.
Is that when you started to sing as well?
Yeah, well, I was singing in the church choir at like 5 or 6, you know, just did that whole thing and did choir and like, you know, high school and some musical theater stuff. And I was playing guitar from like middle school on, you know, Nirvana riffs, and that just evolved. And like my senior year of high school, I took classical guitar lessons. And that's why the guitar I'm playing today, it's the same guitar I've had since high school. But it's, you know, it's a cool little guitar. My producer's all like, sounds plasticky. I'm like, no,
what
no,
kind
no.
of guitar is that?
It's a Takamine classical. So it's cool. It's like a solid top, and you know, it's like a nice like mid level. You know, real nice classicals will be like handmade. You know.
Was there one thing that you got more of a charge out of than another, like playing guitar versus singing?
Probably the guitars were sort of all. It was, you know, what it was is like, I don't know, like I'm gonna have this thing on, but. I don't know, it was basically like when I started writing songs, it was when I figured out I don't know if you can have this on, but like just like
yeah, no, it's play. On.
Yeah, but like it was like because you know there you got your major chord. I mean, a lot of y'all out there probably listen to music. You know, you get your major chords. You know, happy, and you get your minor chords, your sad chords, even your seven chords, sort of bluesy, or whatever, right? But it was when I figured out the minor seven chord, you know, which is when you combine sort of that minor sound with that bluesy sound. You know, get that, and it's like. So, you know, maybe if you have a song that's like a blues progression, that normally would be.
Right.
But you turn that into minor seven chords. And like, oh, okay. And then I like.
So did you just sort of discover that one day? And you're like, wow, this is great.
That sound, yeah. And then I was like, wait, these are like. And then I was trying to figure out, like, you know, like some Gwen Stefani and Eve song, you know, like. Took a while to get me here. I was like, took a while to get me here. It's only been a while. Whatever. But I was like, well, these are just minor seven chords. So then from that, that's when I just started using those chords to write songs, you know. And then from that, I figured out the major seven chord, for instance, which is like, it has a Caribbean, I don't know, sort of a Caribbean sound. Like, I was like, that's really pretty too. So, you know, a song like, I don't know, like. Song called Change If I Can. It's like, or yeah, it's
do you
like,
want you want to just go ahead and play that?
Yeah, why not? That's yeah. How it works out. Yeah,
let's do it.
but it's basically a mixture of before I play it, I'll just say major seven, minor seven, major seven, major seven. But just the chords, those shapes, as opposed to, you know, different,
right. Right,
that's like a rock song or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so, no, it definitely had that. The last part sounded more like a folk song or a rock song, and it definitely has that.
Yeah,
that rhythm sense to it. Like, it makes you want to move your head.
Right,
you know?
Right. And I took classical lessons, so I'm all about like. So I sort of developed like a sort of finger picking style. You know, so I'll do a lot of that whole. And so it's sort of like that folky thing. That's finger picking, right? But it's almost like more of hopefully maybe a little bit of a jazz sort of thing. I don't know. Just. Comping for the bass and all that sort of stuff. But so there's a song called Change If I Can.
Go for it. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org.
Right?
Yeah, that was beautiful. Perfect segue. Whenever you're ready.
For sure. And if this girl Fatima, who sang the song with me, ever hears the song, or, you know, I need to get in touch with her. She needs to get out to L.A. She's from St. Louis. But anyhow. I said I'd change if I can. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no, no. I was right there all along supporting you. Even when what you did was wrong, cause I knew I'd be there till the end, till you messed it all up. Make me start over again. Start over again. Couldn't see, but you took time to breathe. You've been listening to me. Maybe you and me could be something. Ran away again, but you let me back in. But you know that I sin, but I'll change if I can for you. I'll change if I can for you. I'll change if I can for you. I said I'd change if I can. You got me wrapped up in your smile, and I knew I couldn't stay in denial of the power that you're holding over me the final hour, showing you what I believe. You couldn't see, but you took time to breathe. You've been listening to me. Maybe you and me could be something. Ran away again, but you let me back in. But you know that I sin, but I'd change if I can for you. I'll change if I can for you. I said I'd change if I can for you. I'd change if I can. See, I don't wanna be on your bad side no more. And I don't wanna see you off in someone else's ride no more, no more. Because I just wanna give and lift you tall like a mountain peak. Ooh, oh, no. Ooh, oh, no, yeah. Baby, yeah, yeah. I said, I just wanna give and give you gifts until your arms grow weak under the weight of my love. Under the weight of my love. But I'd change if I can for you. I said I'd change if I can for you. I'm gonna change if I can for you. I'd change if I can. I'd change if I can for you.
My guest is John West. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. When you started writing songs, what were you writing about? And is that different from what you write about now?
I've always, because my sisters are big into the poetry scene, you know, when I was in Chicago, you know, that was definitely the group of, when I first, because I went out there to visit her for a summer, and I was like, dang, like, I can sort of like, it was just so cool to go out to some, this isn't really answering the question just yet, but I went out. I went out there though, sort of being just like this, whatever, this kid from Louisiana. I don't know. I mean, I didn't have a lot of confidence, or I didn't really think much of what I was doing. You know, at the time, I used to do a lot of cartoons, so I was doing like comic strips and, you know, writing some music and stuff. But like when you're in Baton Rouge, it's like, okay, whatever, you play guitar and you're some kid in Baton Rouge. But going out to Chicago,
there's a lot of musicians there, so that doesn't set you apart.
Yeah, and also just wherever you're from, you don't really feel very unique when you're just there. You know what I'm saying? You're there. You've been there for 19 years. You know. So when I went out to Chicago for the summer and visited my sister, and it was like, oh, cool, you're from Louisiana. That's cool. All of a sudden I was like, oh, it's cool for that I'm from Louisiana. That's cool. Okay. And like, oh, and you're Anna West's, you know, brother. That's cool too. And I got to like sort of just chill with them and, you know, get involved in sort of the hip hop scene out there. It was my first time seeing anybody break dance or like, you know, had friends, you know, did some graffiti stuff and like going out to like slams and open mics and, you know, hip hop shows and poetry shows and, you know, just got to sort of reinvent myself a little bit. And at the same time, what a great called, you know, a sort of community to be sort of nurtured by, if not like, and I think Chicago's poetry scene is ridiculous, you know. And so nonetheless, that sort of set a high bar for me at least. And I think my sister's a terrific poet as well when it comes to writing songs. I was hopefully trying not to write just a bunch of like, I don't know, typical love songs or, you know, I don't know, just poppy, whatever. And so I think that's always been sort of in the back of my head is like, I want to make some songs with some meaning. You know, I come from a family. My mom's done a lot of community, you know, sort of work and just sort of building community. And I wanted some songs that, at least for me, I stress out a lot. So my songs are sort of like my own sort of therapy. You know, I can just write a song about how crazy all the things in my head are. And like, but then you think how universal all these things are, especially in LA. Like, oh, I'm the only person who deals with anxiety.
Right. Everybody thinks their problems are the important ones. Yeah.
Yeah. But how beautiful, not to be like your problems aren't important because they're not, it's like your problems are beautiful because they're really just part of the human condition.
They connect you with everybody else.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, so like a song like Masquerade, you know, we get lost in the circus. You know, we all do. You know, we get lost in this, just all this stuff coming at us all the time. Or if I'm writing a love song, maybe I can say something in a way that hasn't been said before. I mean, whatever, it sounds cliche, even that. But, you know, like, I don't know, like, change if I can. It's like, we can't really change for one another, really. But what a beautiful thing to want to do that for someone, you know? Yeah.
It's because, like, a lot of songwriters, they get inspired by other songwriters. And they, oh, I want to write songs like this, like the Beatles or whatever. And it sounds like, in your case, you're coming at it more from turning poetry, you know, something that would look fine by itself on paper, and then turning that into more of a lyrical format.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's one song of mine called Saints and Sinners that it's, I think it's my most, like, it could stand alone. Maybe it's a poem, sort of. Like, what are the words, like, just the verse? It's like, you dance and we sway, reminiscent about back in the day. We thought our home wasn't ever going to change, at least not so damn soon. But your dreams and my dreams, shit, I guess it wasn't always perfect as it seems. But I still remember those summer days. I still remember those summer days when it was like, oh, oh, oh.
Yeah, no, that's much better than Roses Are Red, Violets Are Blue, Somebody Please Sign Me.
Yeah, right, right.
Which you hear a lot.
Oh, man, yeah. So, but nonetheless, though, yeah, so I think, but even now, I think my songwriting, it's more, yeah, I don't think my content has really shifted up that much in the past 6 months or, you know, a year even. Definitely, I think, you know, how I'm writing songs, you know, because it's like, as you, it's like a muscle you work, you know, it's a skill. And as you work it, it's like certain things become more second nature. And so you can actually focus more of your songwriting developing, you know, alternate melodies, and maybe instead of just the guitar, now all of a sudden you hear this little piano line, you know, and developing some of that. And even, you know, I'm not trying to make my stuff just sound like, oh yeah, I'm a white guy, I can sort of do some sort of soulful sort of stuff, you know what I mean? I don't mind just sort of breaking it down if it sounds a little folksy, if I can still put my voice on it and my intent, you know, and hopefully like some sort of message, and then I don't really care what it really sounds like, as long as it sounds like me.
Do you see that you're developing a sound that's uniquely John West? That people go, oh, that's that, you know, people would hear it and maybe just from the beginning know that it's got to be one of your songs.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I definitely think that, you know, I hope that my voice has its own sort of unique timbre and what have you. And then I think, yeah, nonetheless, though, I think it's cool. I feel challenged, you know, when I write certain new songs. I'm like, oh, cool, this doesn't really sound like anything I've written, but it's still, hopefully it's still me.
Is there a downside to that as well? Like sometimes you write a song and you go, you know what, this really isn't.
Yeah.
This isn't something that maybe is John West.
I don't get writer's block so much. Like I'm just one of those, I just like to write a song a week, you know, or whatever, just if I can. Makes me feel good about myself, you know.
So, do you set aside a time to write, or are you the kind of person like you get an idea and you're like, quick, give me a piece of paper?
I just sort of sit down and do it. Like here, I'll just like, I'm not gonna play a full song, but this little idea I had yesterday or something. It's like, what is it like? Because I had this thing that sounded a little too folky or a little too sad, almost. Like, how did it go? Like it was in C. It started off like this. It's like, that's nice, but like, but then I was in the car yesterday, like, it's like, boom, dun, dun, wait, boom, dun, dun, dun. Or I started.
You started to give it a little bit more your style to it.
And then, so I was like, all of a sudden, I felt this more of this groove. Like, it sounded like this sort of sad Coldplay sort of thing. But then I was trying to put this sort of like a work it out sort of beat behind it.
Uh-huh.
Work it out. You know, it's like, yeah. You know, in this little bass, like, boom, 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 like, or like, how is it gonna go? Wait, where's the key? Let's see.
So even when you start out, yeah.
Anyway, so that's turning into something.
Yeah. No, I
can sort of feel it, right?
So, like, even when you start out with something that isn't, you know, something you're used to doing, you always end up coming back to...
I can just sort of switch up the flavor a little bit, give it a little more of that. And so, yeah, that was something I had written 2 weeks ago, just that little... And I was like, it's cool, but yeah. But then it's come back to it a little...
Right.
That's a lot of times what it is. Like, even when I work out with the band, it's not so much that I'm like... When we rehearse and stuff, it's sort of like, I'll just sit down and I'll keep playing the songs on my own. Until I can, because I just have to keep sort of painting it in my head a little bit. Because when you sit down with the band, it's like, I mean, you're sort of like the director. You know, you don't want to be the sort of taskmaster, like, here's the part. Dun, 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 this, and then
right.
Here's the part
and
here.
And you can't give them line readings either.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, so it's sort of like, but you need to come with like a really concise vision of what it is in your head. But then, something my piano player, Willard, said, he's like, you need to come with it really tight in your head. But then once it gets there, just let it go. And let it meld, you know, as the band sort of like plays with it.
Yeah.
And that's been something I've been working. You know, it's being a band leader. It's like there's so many, you wear so many hats as a as a singer songwriter. I think, you know, writing songs and as a performer, online promoter and everything. But then as a band leader, that's a whole sort of skill set. And it's people skills. It really is, like knowing how to talk to people that where you can get your point across, and yet not feel like they're being cut off creatively. You know what I'm saying? And so it's been a challenge, but it's been a beautiful. I mean, I'm just really proud that I'm at a point now where like the band's like, yeah, we can talk to one another.
Right.
It's hard to get five guys in a room all playing different instruments.
And all of them being artists themselves.
Yeah,
as well.
you know, respectable like musicians, and then bringing it together, it's like a real crazy union. You know, it's like a five-way.
let's play another track from your CD.
I was thinking, you know, I don't know if you wouldn't mind, but there's that live CD.
Yeah, totally.
I'm doing this new thing on MySpace called Song of the Week, where we're putting like a song up each week. But the song this week was one that we had recorded at Hotel Cafe earlier this week. And it was one that I was sort of like saying how I feel like my style, you know, in some new songs is a little different. But I think it's hopefully still me. But it's a song called Nice Seeing You. When I was home at Christmas time, it was sort of a, yeah, I don't know. I saw a lot of friends, and it was like I'd grown apart from friends, and it was weird, and it was crazy, and it was like, who are you now? But I don't know. But we were friends in middle school, and we were best friends.
That's the weirdest thing about going home. Is like,
it?
Yeah.
And it's sort of hard, but it's also sort of like, man, it just like, I don't know, music just sort of touches your heart, and it helps you remember where you're from and what your life is. And so even if, like, you know, you've grown apart, it's still nice seeing those people, even if just for a day.
So this was from your hotel cafe, your recent residency, right?
Yeah,
you did.
My
you played
week there.
Four weeks
was,
in a row.
It was every
right?
Thursday, yeah. So wow. It was cool. But yeah, so it's, I think it's track two on here. Nice seeing you.
All right, let's do it. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is John West. And we're back on Is Good with John West. Oh, thank you. That's not necessary.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But there's a song. It's a newer tune.
You're having a good time.
And, but I've had some people just tell me lately I wasn't going to play it.
Me and Stereo. It's all good.
This thing.
It's the Live Joints LP, y'all.
All right.
We'll be giving away some of those at the next show at Temple Bar.
Yeah, so that's on Valentine's Day, right?
Valentine's Day. You don't need a date. Just come on out.
And anybody opening for you?
Yeah, I got, like I said, this artist, Chrissy DePaul, who, like I said, was the one who helped, you know, get me in contact with, you know, everybody I work with now and stuff. And that's going to be a great thing. She's got a great talent. She's a singer-songwriter. I think she'll have a full band with her. And then after me, I have a guy named Mateo, who's another friend of mine. So he can sing. He can really sing his ass off. And so he'll be like the 11 o'clock and I'll be on at 10. Or the flyer says 9, you know what I'm saying?
So well, yeah, there. You always have to put the flyer at least half an hour beforehand.
But I'll be honest with y'all, be there, yeah, the show's at 10, but you need to get there a little early because, yeah, the last show was crazy though. We had, I don't know, I mean, again, it's like I was telling you a moment ago, like, you know, I had this new intern, Regina. It's Regina, R-E, that's what I'm calling her. Like, you know, like when you respond to an email, it says Re, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
but it's great. She's been, like, helping out so much. Like, she helped me out the promenade and helping put together media and CDs and, you know, take care of some of my mailing stuff. But just yesterday, she was totally on the ball. She called up the Roxy just to – and I've played there one time. I opened for Guapole, this R&B artist out from the Bay. But she just called them just to see, like, oh, you know, what do we need to, you know, send you to, you know, book shows there. But basically gave the dude my link, the booker, and then he, like, emailed her back, like, yeah, well, why don't you just headline a show there? You know, so we haven't set the date yet, probably early March or something, maybe, we'll see. But all of a sudden, boom, we got this venue, and I think it's maybe a good time, depending on how things go at Temple Bar. But it feels great when you can feel like your draw is getting bigger.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, and you're really fortunate. Sounds like you have a lot of people working for you and supporting your music and helping you promote.
Yeah.
What was it like before you had those people trying to get people in there? I mean, were you making flyers, passing them out? And
well, I'm still, you know, it's funny. Like, as much help as I have, I'm still like, I am still my own intern for sure. You know, I mean, I take care of all my MySpace stuff. I design the flyers. I print out the flyers on my printer and the labels on my printer and, you know, but as far as how it was, the cool thing is that what's good about it is that it wasn't as busy a year ago. So when it wasn't as busy, then I can handle it that much easier on my own.
Right.
So it's great that it seems like it's almost like just seems like it's been fate that just as things are starting to pop, you know, it's like, you know, like, hey, like, let me help you intern. And then it's cool because now that she's helped me out and she built a little street team page for me. It's, you can go to it on my MySpace page and my top friends. Then I have other people hitting me up like, oh, we can help out too, you know. And that's what the whole idea for the street team is you know, let's activate people that just enjoy the music and are able to help out just in small ways. Like, you know, just post some bulletins on MySpace or, you know, put up a flyer and, you know, or let's give you all some free, you know, live tracks that you can just sort of disseminate among your friends and, you know, just build that buzz. But so it's still a thing where I don't think that, you know, everything's being handled for me right now. I enjoy doing the mundane stuff. It's like meditative, you know, like I like washing dishes. I think it's like, if my roommate heard this, she'd be like,
easy time to think.
My roommate Fawn would be like, the hell you do? Because there's a big pile of them right, you know, right now at the crib. But you know, but putting together CDs or even like in designing flyers, I like being all meticulous, you know.
Well, yeah, and you got to love your work too. I mean, if you're making a flyer about a show, you know, you want to do that with care, you know, because you want to love that show.
Yeah. Like the new flyer was fun. I had to look through all these stock images. I found this cool picture for Valentine. It's a trumpet. But there's like a rose like sitting on like on top of the trumpet. I'm like, that's cool. And then so they use all this white space and yeah. So I enjoy all that those small things. It's really about do I have the time necessarily to do them or will my time be better used? You know, just trying to, you know, tighten up my home studio or da 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 da. But I enjoy all that mundane stuff. It's not mundane at all. It's just that's the real work. You know.
How far do you want to go with this? Like, how do you know? Will you know when you've arrived? Where it's like, okay, this is it. I've achieved my musical aspirations. Or is your musical aspiration to keep moving?
I sold 50 CDs, yes! Oh my God!
I mean, do you see yourself on the cover of Rolling Stone, or do you see yourself with a strong cult following, or, you know,
man,
what I'm saying?
I do, I'm not trying, I'm definitely not trying to do this whole, like, super-duper independent artist thing. At the same time, it's great how much we can do independently now. That doesn't mean that I would rely on a label at all to, like, really get my name out there. I don't think that's really their job now. Basically, they're like, seems like they're sort of like banks and they have, you know, connections to they can hook you up with, you know, radio promotion, which they hire out for that as well, you know.
Right.
But the great thing about working at the studio I'm at is that I feel like I'm almost working in a label right now, because, you know, at Sadiq Studio, they have a label deal. They have a production deal. It's more or less I'm already sort of with that scene. So it's not like if I got a deal tomorrow, the path would necessarily change. But as far as where do I see, you know, how far up the totem pole do I want to go? Like, yeah, you know, covers of magazines, that'd be cool, you know. But I mean, I don't know. I think that all I know is that the music I'm making, it seems to be touching a lot of different sorts of people, like, you know, old and young, and like, you know, black and white, and hip hop and pop. I don't know, you know, just if I can get their voice for a second, or their ear, and not tell them, hey, look how great I am, but once again, tell them, like, look how similar we all are. Then I believe not so much in the name of my branding image or something, but just in the name of, like, a good message. Like, yeah, let's get that out to everyone. You know, let's get it out to millions of people.
What do audience members seem to come away with most from your shows? People come up to you afterwards and say, hey, man, I really responded to this or that. What do you get?
Well, you know, people don't come up after shows usually to, like, tell me what the music made them feel. They're usually like, hey, sign the CD. You know what I'm saying? But as far as, like, but I get MySpace messages, though. And, like, I remember this one woman wrote me, like, a month or two ago. And it was just a beautiful email. She's like, you know, I just listened to your music because I was featured on the MySpace music feature page. Part of my management team, this guy George Robertson, big ups. But she was like, you know, I just listened to your music, and, you know, I'll just let you know I don't really cry that often. Maybe once or twice a year. It's probably not the healthiest thing, but it's just
usually when I hurt myself. Or...
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, when my husband beats me. No, just joking. But she said, but I listened to your songs each, like, two or three times each, and I just bawled for like 10 minutes or whatever, like, and it felt so good just to, like, let all this stuff out. And I'm not even sure, you know, what it was or whatever, you know, but man, like, there's something, like, in your songs that's just comforting, you know. And I was actually in therapy yesterday, right? That's my 10 o'clock on Wednesdays. This is my 11 o'clock on Thursdays, right?
This is a different kind of therapy.
I'm just like, see, but once again, I don't really care. Like, you know, once again, I'm not some, like, yeah, I'm just a guy who's dealing with some shit, some stuff. Sorry.
Fuck. It's okay, man.
Okay, good.
Internet radio.
But yeah, but nonetheless, though, you know, I love, yeah, you know, let's let the kids listen in, you know, because maybe, you know. But she was asking, you know, like, what do you want your music to do? And then I finally realized, yeah, I just want it to be a comfort. You know, if I can, mm-hmm, my music, it just, that sounds maybe cheesy, I guess, but, you know, I got a message from a girl a few days ago, and it was real short. It was almost like a little poem, but it was something that just said, like, comment on my page. It was a comment. It was like, you know, your music makes the house warmer, your music makes the car nice, your music makes my day easier, you know, just basically like, so thank you. And it was like, dang. So if I can just, like, make everyone's day, like, a little, it's sort of like, you know, there's that whole concept of random acts of kindness,
right?
You know, you can have the worst day and everyone just being a punk, you know what I'm saying?
How did that feel, like, as the artist, especially that first moment where you say, like, you think about something, like, you wrote something and you performed it, and somehow it traveled through space and time into, yeah, this person's soul and made them cry.
Yeah.
Was that a big success for you? Was that something, because you can't really package that, like, I sold a CD or I had a lot of people come up to my show.
But that's much deeper and without, you know, quantitation or whatever. Yeah, and that's the point, you know.
Was that inspiring for you to, like, want to write more music or want to really, because, yeah, do you ever wonder about what you're doing with your life as a musician?
I wonder,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, even like last week I had this great, you know, turnout for my last show. I listened to the recording. I'm like, I sound like crap, you know what I'm saying? I'm like,
we're,
I'm
our
like,
own worst critics, of course.
Yeah, well, the vocals were way loud on, like, the mix of the recording, mm-hmm, but on the actual monitors on stage, the vocals were really low. So I'm like constantly out of key.
Right.
Like, but then in the recording, though, all you hear is me really loud with, like, the bands. I sound like I'm singing karaoke. over my own songs. See, now I can laugh. But at the time, I was like, can I sing? You know, and then I went to the Promenade, though, and it's just good to get out there and just strip it down, guitar and vocals, and, mm-hmm, boom, and just sing it, you know, and, like, sell some CDs. People never heard you. And you're like, okay, I still got it. It's cool. But no, I mean, I question myself constantly, but I'm sure that's nothing new for, you know.
That's just one more thing that puts you in touch with everybody else.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter how far along you are. There's always the fear of, like, well, can I stay here? Mm-hmm. Am I going to go back down? Can I go further up? You know, can I reach more people? I don't know, you know. But, yeah, but ultimately, as I said, it's like whether I can tell you, here's, you know, I can go in labels and be like, here's my sound, and I'm sticking to my guns. I can be like, look, let's just make some music that's going to be, like, truthful and comforting to people, yeah, that they can respond to in the way they've responded to some of the stuff. It's just, you know, guitar and piano. And, yeah, and I think that ultimately that's all people really want is just, like, some, you know, some real nice music and maybe it has like some cool influence. So once again, you know, I don't know. I just, yeah, but I see myself going somewhere, and I'm definitely with people that I'm very confident can take me to wherever my career is able to take me. So I feel really blessed. It's like more so than getting a deal, to have the right management team. That's like, that's sort of like, that is the, that's your political machine. That's like having a great campaign manager. You know what I'm saying? And so just to have that, it's not about, you know, who's my employer or whatever, how you want to put it, but that's going to be a beautiful thing. And then this next year is gonna be really exciting.
Let's do another song, because unfortunately we're running out of time, and I want to get one more song out of you.
Here.
And then I could sit here and talk to you for another hour, no problem. But
that's what's up. So we'll do one song, and then maybe, like I said, you want to end on that.
Yeah, we'll do another live song, and then I'll let you shout out your Temple Bar gig again, we'll leave on that other track we discussed.
Let me
before.
Do one. Okay, cool. Yeah, let me do one. As far as one that, for me, like, I wrote that song that we just listened to, "Nice Seeing You." I wrote it Christmas time this year, Christmas Day actually, but I wrote this song last Christmas, thinking about, I guess it's the year to come, and people want to change. Sometimes we're always waiting to change.
Is that what it's called?
No, it's called New Year's Day.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, no. No need to wait. We know these things don't work themselves out overnight. 'Cause this struggle is a part of everyone's life, and we pay our dues, yeah. We try, but sometimes we don't get to choose. But if you really wanted to change, you probably already would have anyway, yeah. See, but if you really wanted to start new, this moment's never too late, so no need to wait. No New Year's Day. For no New Year's Day. No need to wait for no New Year's Day. Just sitting waiting. Got people just passing me by. Some of us struggling, some of us won't ever get by. But see, some say, don't you dream too loud. After all, you're just another face in the crowd. But if you really wanted to change, you probably already would have anyway. But if you really wanted to start new, ooh, this moment's never too late, so no need to wait for no New Year's Day. For no New Year's Day. No need to wait for no New Year's Day. For no New Year's Day. Ooh, no. Ooh, oh, oh, oh. For no New Year's Day. For no New Year's Day. For no New Year's Day.
You've been listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is John West. John, thanks so much for coming in. Your music is amazing.
Oh, man.
You're a fascinating person. This has been a great episode. This is what this show is all about. Let me ask you one more time about your next big gig.
Next big show, Simple Bar is in Santa Monica, and it's going to be on Valentine's Day. So, yeah, come out. We'll be giving out some free CDs. Also be playing with Chrissy DePaul and this guy Mateo. So, yeah, I hope you can see there. You can actually pre-order tickets, I think, at templebarlive.com. A little bit cheaper, and you don't have to wait in the line to get a ticket, you know, all that thing. So, yeah, I hope y'all can make it out. You know, it's been good to be here. Thank you so much, John.
And people can get more information on you at myspace.com/JohnPeterWest.
And if you hate MySpace, you can go to johnpeterwest.com. Yeah, so hook it up.
And that will redirect you to MySpace.
Oh, and finally, this last tune, yeah, we had played this tune, Gravity, earlier. And so this song was just sort of like just a different version. It was one with just myself and a cello player, Emil Kelman, just sort of breaking it down acoustic style. So this is Gravity Acoustic on the—
That's the last track on the LP?
Last track on the LP, yeah. First and last track.
All right. So I'll be back next week and every week after that. So drop by isgoodmusic.com or myspace.com/thisisgood. The interview that you heard today will be available for download in a couple of hours. So drop by, check it out, download it. Let me know what you think, as long as you liked it. And I'll see you soon. You're listening to Is Good, killradio.org.
Gravity can't hold me. Gravity can't hold me no more. Gravity can't hold me. Gravity can't hold me no more. Gravity can't hold me. You wanted to know me. Don't talk, would you show me? Could you show me where you're coming from? You always wanted to do this. Not all of us pursue this. Maybe day jobs pollute us. You paid your dues, so let's do this. And when you finally let go, fast lane or drive slow. Let's get it right from the get-go. But I'm still waiting by the phone. And since I've come this far, I guess I could walk just a little bit more. And since you've come this far, oh, oh, yes, you could walk. Yes, you could walk just a little bit more, just a little bit more, just a little bit more, just a little bit more. And dreams carry us through, help us do what we got to. I really wanted to thank you for sharing the road with me. Cause we're all moving, gotta figure out what you're doing. Ain't nothing that needs proving, except proving to your own. And when you finally get there, you might find there ain't no there to get to. But that's alright, we're gonna see this thing through, see this thing through. And since I've come this far, guess I could walk just a little bit more. And since I've come this far, ooh, I guess I could walk, guess I could walk just a little bit more, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more, 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 just a little bit more. And gravity can't hold me, gravity can't hold me no more. Gravity can't hold me no more. Gravity can't hold me. Gravity can't hold me no more.